You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 24, where we left off last time. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Before we begin, I want to give a shout out of mega love to Rush Limbaugh, who just moved to heaven. The big voice on the right. Half his brain tied behind his back just to make it fair. Talent on loan from God. Rush Limbaugh is in heaven because I often heard him confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Rush Limbaugh was more than a radio talk host. He did so many great things for America and for children. Rush Limbaugh wrote a book for children. There are four in the series called Rush Revere. They tell the true history of America. He wrote it in a witty form because it has a great sense of humor. But the real history of America is there, and the real story of Thanksgiving. All of you parents in America, I ask you to insist that in your children's school, that in your history class, all four of these Rush Revere books be taught. Then your child won't grow up to be like AOC and Omar, to be a socialist and a communist and hate our country. Hallelujah. I wrote Rush a poem. Brilliant, Rush, witty and kind. You're not grieving, just us left behind. God bless Rush. God bless America. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you now to thank you for the life of Rush Limbaugh. Father, he was deaf some of the last years of his life, and it was a miracle that he kept his station going. Like I am blind, it's a miracle that I keep teaching your word. I ask that the first words he heard when he left his body would be your voice saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And Father, I ask that great is his reward in heaven. Give Rush joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I ask, Father, that you will send the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, to his beautiful wife, Catherine, and his Christian brother, David, and to all of us who love him. We thank you for him, Lord. We know we'll see him again. And we praise you and thank you for Rush Limbaugh. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I also want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m. to pray fervently for the America Rush Limbaugh so greatly loved, that God will make us free again, that Jesus will be our Lord and the Bible our book. You're also invited to come each Sunday, 5 p.m., for the live radio broadcast taping. I'm in Sun Tree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I am right there at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. The Lord Jesus has been teaching to his disciples the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7, so that they could teach us. And so we pick it up now with the last few verses of the Sermon on the Mount, verse 24.
Therefore, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them,
hear the word, but do it,
Utter like an hymn unto a wise man who...
Now, you're only wise if you love God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Built his house upon a rock. 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
Now, you're wise because you are saved, you love Jesus, and you love the Word of God. But you see, you are the house. 1 Corinthians says you are the temple of the living God, and the rock is Jesus, and the rock is the Word. So all of us who love Jesus are going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. So the flood of lies will come against you, and the hot wind of lies will blow upon you and rain upon you. But because you're rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, the Word of God, you will stand.
Amen. 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not.
Uh-oh. See, you don't just hear the word, you got to do it.
He should be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand.
No word.
27. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it.
Soon and very soon, you're going to be aware of a supernatural being. He will call himself Theosata, God's Savior. He's coming in the sky. Revelation 13 says the whole world will think he's God. Half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, will think he's Jesus. But you see, you have heard the word, and you know that it is the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, the devil with his Jesus costume on. And because you're rooted and grounded in the word, you've studied the sixth trumpet is the devil pretending to be Jesus. The seventh trumpet in Revelation is Jesus. You're not going to fall. But if you worship in him, you will fall into the lake of fire.
28. And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. 29. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes.
He taught the truth.
Matthew chapter 8, verse 1.
From God's heart to my heart to your heart, here's what he gave me. Yahweh Rapha, the Lord, your healer.
Amen.
Yahweh Rapha, the Lord, your healer.
Amen.
Verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him.
They wanted to be healed.
Verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him.
In Bible times, a leper was an outcast. It was a disease that just ate away their flesh. Their nose would come off. They were outcasts, and nobody would touch them. Once they were diagnosed with leprosy, they couldn't even get one last goodbye hug from their family. And when they came in a crowd, they had to say, unclean, unclean. But leprosy is also a spiritual type of sin. That doesn't mean the leper was a lost sinner.
Saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.
Now, the leper had great faith. He knew that Jesus could heal him. He didn't doubt that. But you see, he didn't know that Jesus would even notice him. Everybody else would, get away from me, you unclean leper, you old smelly thing, you dirty thing. We don't want your sin there. We don't want your disease. So, but if you could possibly love me enough, you could heal me. That's faith.
3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him.
Now that is totally undone. That must have shaken up the church folks then, the religious phonies, okay? Nobody would touch a leper because then you would get leprosy. But Jesus touched him.
Saying, I will, be thou clean.
It is my will for you to be healed. I will, be thou clean.
And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. 4. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man.
Now, the reason is Jesus had just begun his earthly ministry. He wanted to teach and preach and proved that he was Emmanuel, God with us, for 3 years. If the phony church leaders had realized he was doing miracles, they would have killed him before his time. So kind of keep low profile, he says to the healed leper.
But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.
Now Jesus is saying, go and do Leviticus chapter 14, verses 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right in there. In other words, Jesus says, go do what the Bible says, the Mosaic law. Go show yourself to the priest in the synagogue. Take two little birds, let's say two little sparrows, and give them to the priest. Now the priest in the synagogue will kill one of the little birds and dip its blood, put its blood in a basin. Then he would take the live bird and dip it in the blood, and then he'll let the live bird go free. And then the priest will take some of that blood and sprinkle the healed leper 7 times, and you will be healed. Now that was the Mosaic law. So Jesus said, go and do what he says, and he will pronounce you clean.
5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum,
city of consolation, compassion. So everybody say compassion.
Compassion.
Only an elect has compassion. You see, people don't have any compassion, they're not God's elect.
There came unto him a centurion.
Now a centurion was a ranking officer in the Roman military, and he had soldiers under him, and he whatever he told them to do, they would do it.
Beseeching him.
But he was not a Hebrew. He was not the seed of Abraham. He was a Gentile.
6. Saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy.
I've got a servant who's paralyzed.
Grievously tormented.
In other words, that centurion could have not cared about the servant because he had many servants. He could have said, well, so much for that, I'll get another. But you see, he had compassion, and he's not the seed of Abraham. At that time, the seed of Abraham did not mix with the Gentiles.
7. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him.
I will come and heal him. Now notice that's the second time Jesus says to, I will heal you, leper. I will heal your servant. Now Jesus will later say, in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, a matter is established. All right. He said it twice. I will heal you. So it is the Lord's will for you to be healed. Mm-hmm. Yahweh, the sacred name of God, YHVH, Rapha, the Hebrew name for healer, the Lord your healer. It is the Lord's will for people to be healed. You say, yeah, but that was then. No, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof.
Lord, I understand that I'm a Gentile, and you Hebrew people don't mix with us, so I know you wouldn't want to come under Gentile's roof, but...
But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed.
Wow. This centurion must have read Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Revelation chapter 1 says the sword of Jesus is his tongue. It is his word. It's more powerful than a two-edged sword. It cuts between the joints and marrow. And Psalm 107:20 says he sent his word and healed him. The centurion know that the word is life to all those that find them. Proverbs 4:22. And the centurion know that sound produces movement. Let there be, and there is. He knows that words have power.
Amen. 9. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth.
The centurion says, Lord Jesus, all I have to do is open my mouth and say a word, go, and they go, just like that, just because I spoke the word.
And to another, come, and he cometh.
I open my mouth and I say the word, come, and he comes. Words have power.
And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it.
I open my mouth and I say, do this, and he does it.
10. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said unto them that followed, Verily say to you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel.
Not even the children of Abraham understood that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Every time you speak, movement begins. You're either speaking your health or you're speaking your sickness. You're either speaking your freedom or you're speaking your captivity. Words have power, and the tongue is the word of God. The word is life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Not everybody knows that. What kind of words are you speaking? What words did you speak before you began to hear this message? Sad, gloomy, sickness, despair?
11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west. I shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven.
Jesus looks down the corridors of time, and he looks after the millennium time, we'll be in that, after the great white throne judgment, when he brings heaven on earth, and only the saved are going to be here. The many there means people of all nations. In other words, whosoever will may come, but they would have to believe that Jesus is the living Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was made flesh. Death and life and the power of the tongue. They believe the Word. They say the Word. They do the Word. They're going to be saved.
Amen. 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
But many people who say, I am Christian, who go to church every Sunday and Wednesdays too, are not going to be there because they haven't yet understood that Jesus is the living Word, and his Word is life, or if you speak a death word, that's death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and you are right now eating the fruit of what you spoke. Proverbs 18:21.
13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee.
You believed that if I would but speak the word, he would be healed. So that's what happened. Your servant is healed.
And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. 14. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house,
now he goes into one of his disciple Peter's house,
he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever.
So we see that Peter is married and he's got a mother-in-law and she's sick of a fever. Now, the word laid there is very sad. In the manuscripts, this means she's laid out for her funeral. She is so close to death, she's got a fever, and she's dying. This is Peter's mother-in-law.
15. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her.
Now, he touched her. Keep that in mind. Laying hands on the sick, and they recover. He touched her. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, around about verse 39, it gives a little different view. Luke says that he rebuked the fever, and it left her. That means he spoke to the fever heard, and it left her. Because, see, if it heard, it was a demon. Now, both of them are right. See, you came into my place here. Some of you saw my little sign out there, Sherry's Garden of Eden, no snakes allowed, okay? But others of you saw my Amazing Grace bench. Both of you are right. One saw this and one saw that, both. So Matthew saw Jesus lay his hand on the mother-in-law and she was healed. Luke saw him speak to the fever and it left her. Now we'll come back to that. As a new press secretary says, we'll circle back to that.
And she arose and ministered unto them.
Uh-oh, she had to get up and cook dinner. I've prayed for a lot of people to be healed, and I found that a lot of them, after the Lord Jesus healed them, they didn't want to be healed. They wanted to be sick again, because then they had to go to work.
Amen. 16. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word.
Now, these were not physically sick. These are people who have demons. Notice how he did it. He cast them out with his word. And Luke's gospel, he rebuked the fever, and it left a rebuke. You have to speak to it. So, here it is. Now, Jesus told you to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils or demons. Now, you might say, wait a minute. He told his disciples to do that. Yes, but they taught us to do it. If you're going to be that narrow, the Sermon on the Mount was only for the disciples, not for us. You know better than that. No, we Christians are supposed to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons in the name of Jesus, and to Jesus be all the glory, so that people would know that Jesus is Lord. Amen. But when a person comes to you, and the Holy Spirit, by his discernment of spirit gift, 1 Corinthians 12, tells you this is not a physical sickness, this is a demon, you don't lay your hands on that. You speak to that demon in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you order it to loose that person and go into the abyss. Understand? So we say, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you lying, stealing, destroying, controlling spirit, demonic force that's come to take over America, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, by the blood of the Lamb, loose America, go to the abyss and never return, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, so see, it might be another kind of spirit, but the Lord will show, the Holy Spirit will show you what it is. Now, don't ever leave that empty. Fill that person, make sure they're saved. Fill them, baptize them with the Holy, pray your hands on them, ask them, the Holy Spirit, to baptize them with the Holy Spirit and put the Word of God in them and make them say the Word of God out their mouth. Don't leave it empty. Now, that's how you do the demons. You notice fever? Fever is a demon. Fever is a devil. Coronavirus is a demon. What if all of God's people in America knew that? In the name of Jesus, coronavirus, by the blood of the Lamb, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we command you, coronavirus, COVID, go from the world and never return. Yes. And it left her. Hallelujah. 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 Truth, life, perfection, healing to America.
And healed all that were sick.
Now he heals all that were sick. See, it's different. See, you've got to know the difference. You're not doing any good if you lay hands on a person's got a demon. It's not going to do any good. You got to rebuke it, speak to it. But someone's sick, there are different ways to heal them. Mark 16 says, these signs follow them that believe. They lay hands on the sick and they recover. Now, do our hands do it? Definitely not. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That means if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit comes up out of you when you start to pray for someone who's sick, through your arms like a conduit, through your hands like a faucet. And the Holy Spirit pours the healing virtue of Jesus Christ, and they are healed. Lay hands on the sick and they recover. Now, that's not you. So that's Jesus gets the glory. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Understand?
Yes.
Now, also, another way that the Lord heals people is James chapter 5, 13, which says, is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. That's not talking about age. An elder is someone who is mature in God's word, who is not a baby Christian, who lives the word 24 hours a day, who has the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, the sick person, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The oil in the manuscripts is two of the names of God, El-I-Yah. El, Elohim, God the Creator, El Shaddai, God Almighty, Yah, short for Yahweh, the sacred name of God, YHVH. So then you take the sick person. Now this is virgin oil. You can get it from Publix or some kind of store there. All right, put it in a little vial and pray over it and ask the Holy Spirit to anoint it and tell the Lord you're going to use it for anointing. You can also use it to anoint your place when it gets filled with demons, okay? But say you take a little bit of the oil and you on the forehead of the person or perhaps wherever the sickness is, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, the Father, Yahweh, Yeshua, Jesus, the Son, the Holy Ruach, the Holy Spirit in Jesus. And then it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. One of the meanings in the Greek of save is heal. And the Lord shall raise him up. We don't do it. We've obeyed. All is a part of the obedience. And the Lord raises him up. To him be the glory. And if there be any sins, they shall be forgiven. Because some sicknesses are caused by sin. So that's why before you even pray for a person who's got a demon, before you pray for a person who's sick in the body, make sure they're saved so that that does not interfere with the healing. Understand? Now, there are other ways. Isaiah chapter 10 says, the anointing destroys the yoke. When I first began my ministry, there would just be a small group, and I love small groups. And everybody in the service, I would invite up to the holy bench. I would anoint them with oil and pray over them. But when you've got a congregation full, it's just too much. So another way you can do is if the speaker, the shepherd or shepherdess, the pastor, whoever's up there teaching the word of God, if you're anointed by the Holy Spirit and you're teaching the word of God, not some story about Uncle Tom or Aunt Sarah or whatever they are, the word of God, you can speak out and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, and the anointing will destroy the yoke.
Amen.
17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet.
Isaiah chapter 53 prophesied,
saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses.
He prophesied that Jesus would take the infirmities, that would be the demons and devils. They plopped on Jesus' body on the cross, and our sicknesses. They plopped on Jesus' body on the cross. They beat Jesus with 39 stripes. The Bible says 40 minus 1. Do your math, that's 39. Modern scientists have discovered that there are only 39 foundational diseases, that all other sicknesses and diseases stem from these 39. Jesus took 39 stripes on his back. He took the stripes, and you take the healing. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. Also, 1 Peter 2:24.
18. And when Jesus saw a great multitude about him, he gave a commandment to depart to the other side.
He told his disciples, let's go to the other side. Now, he loved those people, but there's a time when you come apart and rest a while. You have to know when it's time to leave the crowd and go and get yourself back together again. You have to know how much you can take and how much you can't.
Amen. 19. And a certain scribe came unto him and said, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest.
That is good. A scribe was preaching in the synagogue. That means he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. I'm converted, Jesus. I believe in you. That's good. Now, what's Jesus going to say to him? Jesus is going to test him.
20. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes.
Okay. In the Song of Solomon, it says the little foxes spoil the vineyard. In the natural, the little foxes would go in there and knock the grapes off and spoil the vineyard. But the foxes are a metaphor. That word is a metaphor for the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, the descendants of Cain, and Cain is a child of the devil. Even Jesus said, tell that old fox Herod. So the foxes are a metaphor. The word is a metaphor for the devil's children. So he's telling this scribe, okay, you can be my disciple, but the devil's children are going to try to keep you from bearing any fruit. They knock the grapes off.
And the birds of the air have nests.
In other words, the kingdom of heaven is like a great tree. All the birds come in there, good birds, doves, but there's going to be the foul birds. That's the demons. In other words, the devil's children in the flesh are going to try to keep you from being what Jesus wants you to be, and the demons of the air are going to try to keep you from being what you want to be. Now, Jesus isn't trying to discourage him. Jesus can't use any hothouse lilies.
But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head.
Now, this is a metaphor because he is in Capernaum. We know other gospels said Jesus had a house in Capernaum, so he did have a place to lay his head. But what he's saying, that even, Jesus says, even when I lay my head down on my pillow to take a sleep, the devil's children and the devil's demons are going to try to take me out. In other words, if you're going to give your life to Jesus, don't be afraid of them. Luke 10:19, Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over scorpions and serpents, over devils and demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. But know that you're on the enemy's hit list.
21, and another disciple said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.
I want to be your disciple, but I've got something to do right now. My father's getting old. I mean, he's got about a year to live. Let me go and be with him and bury him first, Lord. Then I am really going to give my all to you.
22, and Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead.
Jesus is not being insensitive. What he means is there, son, you must leave father, mother, brother, sister, houses, lands. And if you don't hate father, mother, brother, sister, house, and land, means love less, more than me, you cannot be my disciple. In other words, there are people there at your father's house, he says, who are dead in trespasses of sin, but they love your father. Let them bury your father. You, if you're going to be my disciple, you must give it all to Jesus.
23. And when he had entered into a ship.
Okay, Jesus gets into the ship to go to the other side to take a break from the crowd.
His disciples followed him. 24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves.
There are the foxes. There are the fowls. Okay, see, he just told that scribe, you follow me, they're going to try to kill you. That was the devil's children, the winds and the waves, the demonic forces. We're going to drown Jesus, drown his disciples. Just wanted you to know.
But he was asleep.
He lay his head. But every time he lay his head on a pillow, the devil was trying to kill him. Same thing for you, same thing for me. We're not afraid. Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Amen. We shall not die but live and declare the works of God.
Amen.
25. And the disciples came unto him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. 26. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?
Now, it sounds like Jesus is fussing at him, but he's not. Of means have. Don't be afraid. You have a little faith. Jesus says, I've given everyone faith as the grain of a mustard seed. A mustard seed is the tiniest, littlest little seed you can have. And Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that little faith, you can say to this mountain, move, and the mountain will move in the depths of the sea.
Amen.
Death and life in the power of the tongue, by the name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, and by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Move, you devil.
Amen.
Then he arose and rebuked the wind.
So he rebuked it, like in Luke chapter 4, he rebuked the fever. He spoke to the wind, because he knew that was the hot air flood of lies coming to destroy it. He makes the storm a calm. Peace, be still. You came in a hurry, you hurricane, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, by the anointing of the Spirit. He makes the storm a calm. Peace, be still. In the name of Jesus, he makes the storm a calm.
And the sea, and there was a great calm. 27, but the men marveled, seeing what manner of man is this, for even the winds and the sea obey him.
The word of his power, Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. Revelation 1, the tongue is the word of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them. We'll begin right there next time. Amen. I pray you will bless. Amen. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my salty friend, my twin friend, Scott Burson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry, especially after that. It was great, great word today.
Great is the word. Amen. Great is the word. And great are those that publish it. Okay, he says, Amen. Great is the word. Great are those that publish his word.
Amen.
Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19.
Absolutely perfect. And scorpions are the demons, yep. And serpents are the devils. And remember that you have that power. I'm going to pray for those for healing, but before I do, let's pray for salvation. If you're not saved, pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will save you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that Jesus shed his blood.
I believe that Jesus shed his blood.
For the remission of my sins.
For the remission of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
Please wash them all away with the blood of Jesus.
Please wash them all away with the blood of Jesus.
Forgive me for every sin.
Forgive me for every sin.
Omission or commission.
Omission or commission.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
Use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Now and forevermore.
Now and forevermore.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you out there in cyberspace, confession is made into salvation. You need to tell someone, yes, that's my correct telephone number that Scott gives you later on. Call me and leave that message on my voicemail. Leave your name there and I will pray for you. And now we're going to pray for those who are sick so you will be healed. Now, you know, some time ago, I did a little program called Tone the Temple. I have a gift of poetry, so I took scriptures and rhymed them, and I created exercises to tone every part of the body and to praise the Lord. So I want everybody on the sound of my voice, if you're not feeling well, to stretch your hands out in front of you. Got it? Bring them back in to yourself. Stretch them out front and bring them back in. Okay, so here we're going to go with a healing scripture. Okay, are you ready? We are the body. Jesus is the head. Body come alive because the head is not dead. Try it again. We are the body. Jesus is the head. Body come alive because the head is not dead. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Glory to God in the highest. I love you. I wasn't that fun. I got a bunch more of those. I used to lead a whole group. I was even on television with that one time. Maybe we should do that again. Tone the temple. It's good. Okay, now, nothing is given to you to keep, so go and tell. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock. I love you with all my heart. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the healed body of Christ, Amen. To rejoice in the sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
You're my defender. You're my refuge in the storm. Through these trials, you've always been faithful.
Your home. calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
If you try to live your life under the law, trying to follow rules, you're going to be a very unhappy Christian.
Dr. Tony Evans says we don't turn into healthy believers by changing from the outside in. God wants us to do it a different way.
Because the Spirit provides the power to move forward in your Christian life.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. God wants to energize us to live life by His power. And today, Dr. Evans tells us how we can get closer to God's Holy Spirit, which naturally moves us farther from any chaos we've been living in. Let's join him as he explains.
You go to any cemetery, and among the dead, you will discover the living. People who work there, people who take care of the grounds. These are living people operating among the dead. They are facilitating death, even though they very much are alive. Unfortunately, today, many Christians who are alive are living in spiritual cemeteries. They are living among the dead.